Welcome to One Speed MMA with Flying Smitty and Carson Wood over here. Mm-hmm. We've got some guests with us today. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Jordan Smith. I train out of One Hit MMA. I used to train with Carson, actually.
Yeah.
When he used to roll around with us. Yeah. And my wife came with me. Yay.
You want to introduce yourself, wife? Do you have a name?
Jordan's wife.
One of the things I always get a hard time for with our group of friends is I always say my wife. Like, oh, yeah, my wife will be here soon. And everyone says, we know Chelsea. You can call her by her name. You don't have to say my wife. Uh-huh. And I've just gotten used to it.
So I actually like her more than you.
Oh, very much so. She's much more up. Of a likable person than I am.
It's true.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, I only said my wife because she's here and I was going to have her introduce herself. So.
Well, every time I'm at the gym anyways, everyone just cares about Jordan Smith anyway. Not so true. I'm Jordan's wife.
Do you look like you're at the gym right now, Crystal?
Yes.
We're all, looks like all of us need to go shirtless. You guys ready? Let's go shirtless. Well, Crystal, let's start asking you some questions then. I see that you are pregnant.
Unfortunately.
Maybe we'll stop asking her questions then. She's bringing everybody down.
You're bringing the team.
Yeah, you bring everyone listening's like, oh.
Listen, I'm still able to hold pads for all the fighters. Even
though I'm pregnant. There you go. So you're actually, yeah, so you're coaching over there, correct?
Yes.
And so what do you coach?
I coach Muay Thai, kickboxing, pad work, and conditioning.
And how long have you been doing that for?
Probably the last 3 years.
The last 3 years?
More than that, Rex. It's been a while since I've been there, and you did a lot of that when I was there.
Yeah, it's been off and on, okay. Just when Aldo needed me to.
She's official now.
Consistently, oh, the last 3 years.
She's got a jacket and everything.
If we're talking about everyone wanting to talk about Jordan, let's talk the big thing then. There's a one-hit MMA commercial that only features you, Crystal.
That's because Jordan was in Brazil.
But as far as I understood, they were in the gym for like 3 or 4 days. And then all of it was spliced up to just feature you.
Because she's so beautiful, and that's what people want to see when they come into a gym. It's beautiful women beating the crap out of boys.
No, I think the guy that taking the video was a creep.
And he was like, so Jordan's
in Brazil, huh?
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
great.
We're gonna have a lot of film of everyone in the gym and not use any of it. That's pretty much what he did.
So. It makes sense. You know, when I think I watched it like a year later, I was like, is Crystal gonna fight? Is this like a preview?
Thought. Yeah. That's what everybody
really
thought.
Quick, how is Aldo? Is Gustavo still there too?
What's going on with One Hit?
I miss those guys.
Aldo's great. Gustavo has been training at different places.
Dang.
Recently.
Walking like a spider.
Yeah. He lives in Salt Lake, so it's harder for him to get up to us.
He comes in Saturdays.
He gets paid a lot more to be at the other gyms that he's at now. So
he's coaching, right? He's not actually training. Right. So he's doing the training. I gotcha.
Yeah, always.
I think just that Phoenix is where he teaches. It used to be the Muay Thai Institute, and now it's called Phoenix.
Interesting.
He also trains in another place. I just don't know where.
So is there still a big rivalry between, like, gyms here in Utah? So, like, One Hit and Jeremy Horns and, like, the Pit down in Orem?
No.
Or are they all, like,
not
nicer
One
now?
Hit and Elite Performance, but maybe One Hit in some other places.
I thought the Pit, somebody told me it was gone. Is it still there?
It's gone. It's 4-7 now.
They call it something else.
Did they just lose their sponsorship when all their fighters were cut? Or what happened? Do we know what happened?
I think it was the coaching staff that kind of, I don't know.
They just separated.
There's a lot of drama and political stuff.
We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Well,
we're not too worried. It's just
I don't talk about it.
All their fighters are scattered in other places now. Some of them train at Absolute.
I think the new management really lost the feeling of family that the fighters had and loved. And that's why most of them were there. You know, we talk about Ramsey and
Steve Seiler and McGee
and Brock Jardine. And all those guys loved it because they were a family there. They didn't have to pay. There was all these, you know, perks that they got for representing the gym as fighters in the UFC or elsewhere. And they lost that with the new management. And I heard horror stories that fighters who'd been going there for years walked in and the management were like, you got to pay now. And they're like, I got to pay what? Pay a gym membership? No, I don't. I don't have to do that. I'll go anywhere else that'll let me train for free.
So speaking of pay, as I understood it, if you were working at a gym, usually they worked out some kind of percentage where the gym, there's, and I don't know how it actually works, but it was like you're at this gym. I know that Team Alpha Male, they actually pay part of their purse to go back to the gym. But so a local gym like One Hit, say that there's a fighter, say like a Siler or a Ramsey or someone like that, fights in the UFC, they don't pay for the gym. This part of their purse goes back to their fight team, correct?
It depends. That generally happens with bigger fight gyms, like you said. You know, most of the time it's because they're getting managed by that gym as well. So the management company, generally will take 20% out of your purse, and it goes straight to your dues. You're not going to have to pay a monthly membership like people who don't fight have to. That's part of your purse.
But the percentage is actually coming out on top of that. Right. And then management and PR. And it's
different for smaller gyms like ours. If somebody like Siler wants to come in and train with us, we're not going to charge him to train because it's benefiting us as our fighters get that level of competition in the gym. They get to get better with Siler. And when people hear Siler's going to be training at our gym, Siler or anybody of his caliber, it gets people excited to come in too.
So you had time at Black House. So if they were to bring someone into Black House to help train, so say a certain weight or a certain fight style, southpaws, different stuff like that, they actually pay for most of those fighters to come in, don't they? Or how does that work? Do they actually fly them in and give them like a stipend for the time that they're there?
Black House is a little different because we don't have when it first started, we never had gym memberships. It was like, you don't get to just walk in here. You have to be invited by somebody. And if you're invited by somebody, it's probably somebody like Anderson Silva or Lyoto Machida who's paying you because you're good enough to be in his fight camp and he wants you there to be concentrating on getting him better and ready for his fight. So it's a little different. They did start having like Muay Thai classes 3 times a week, and then they started charging people for those if they didn't have some kind of management ties with the Black House. Tough Media Incorporated and stuff like that. But usually it was a good, really good thing for you if you could get invited to the Black House.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
You get paid to be a punching bag for the really yeah. good guys. That's what
you get. Yeah, you get to stand in front of them. You get to be one of the people that comes in fresh during their 5-round training session. And, yep. And hopefully you get round 5 when they're tired rather than round 1 when they're fresh.
That's the worst time to be training with Anderson because what he's going to do is hurt you so that he gets to take a break. If he's really tired, he's just going to knock you out or give you a liver shot and just put you on your butt.
He's like, cool, I don't want to train anymore.
That's the worst time.
Would you prefer knockout or liver on that one?
I don't know. I feel like
that's worst case scenario no matter what training.
I prefer knockout because you don't feel anything. Liver, you just wake livers up. Hurt really bad, yeah.
Oh, God, I could only imagine. One of the questions I have, and I don't know how many questions you have, but with the new weight cutting system, the UFC has banned IV. Is that coming down from the higher leagues down into like the local shows? So if showdown fights or, are those local fighters now stopping using IVs to be able to fight at a more natural weight to be able to then step up to a Bellator or WSOF or UFC?
We use the same unified rules, so technically we're not supposed to be doing that either.
So the IV, it was unified. It went from, once UFC implemented it, then, pretty much the other promotions had to adopt it.
Right, exactly. On that level, there's always different commissions in different states.
Yeah.
So most of the time, it's Nevada for UFC fights, but they're all over the place. And then who's going to sit there and watch all 20 fighters from the showdown fight or whatever, where they go after they weigh in and who's, they're not going to stop people from using IVs. It's going to be ridiculous.
Speaking of different commissions, what's it like? What's the biggest difference between fighting in Brazil and the United States?
In Brazil, they didn't even watch us wrap our hands, stuff like that. So it was like the fighters who'd been doing it for a long time. Like I fought,
Carl
Parisian.
Let me tell you.
It's been a long time.
Was it Jungle Fights, right?
Yeah, Jungle Fights. It was in Manaus, in the jungle. But we had to, make an agreement with each other. Like, okay, my coach will watch you guys rap, and then your coach can come watch us rap. Stuff like that. And there weren't – there wasn't any rubber coating on the cage. So it was like a chain link fence. My back was just destroyed after the fight. I ripped off part of my toe on it. It was crazy.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask is what's, I guess, the unforeseen things. Because I remember Chell talking one time about the thing that you wouldn't realize is how like aggressive like the canvas is, and like the worst thing is getting the rug burns on it. What are like some of the weird like nagging injuries that you get that like people really don't see? Because I hear about those all the time, and people are like, if you, like Conor McGregor said, if you run an x-ray over me, everybody would tell me not to fight. Like, what are those like nagging injuries or just like the stupid things like picked up from the cage that you usually get?
Arthritis.
Jeez.
Arthritis.
Staph infection.
If you've been fighting for more than 6 or 7 years, you just ask anybody. If you talk about holding your guard up and I've got my hands in tight, if you throw a punch at me and I don't flex into it because I'm not ready for it, and you jam my hand back towards my shoulder, oh, my arm just feels like it's paralyzed because my elbows have arthritis in it. And not just that, but arthritis in my hands from punching so much. So, like, you'll get done sparring or doing bag work, and your hand just aches, especially when it gets cold.
Mm-hmm.
So those things suck. I would say rug burn, because the cloth canvas isn't something a lot of people train on. It's different than most of the ones that you have on local shows where it's like the, I don't know what they call that, the regular mat.
I have no idea what it's called either. I've got a question for you, Crystal, for the women's divisions. So a lot of the talk that goes on between the men's division is the difference between 170 and 185, walk around weight and different things like that. The difference between, say, a 115, a 125, 135, and a 145, do you think that that's bigger with a women's division than it is with a men's division?
I know in my experience, it's way more difficult to cut weight than it is for Jordan. And women just shouldn't be cutting as much as men, period. And 10 pounds is a lot for us. There's no way 20 pounds would take healthy, would take way longer. So, yeah, it's a big difference, just that 10 pounds.
So when they say Ronda Rousey doesn't want to go up and wait to fight Chris Cyborg, it actually could be a weight thing, do you think? Or is it because she just might not want to fight her? Opinion, obviously.
It's hard to say, but I don't see why she wouldn't want to fight Chris Cyborg. So
I wouldn't want to fight her.
I wouldn't want to fight Chris. Have you watched her fight?
I know, she but crushes she's some Ronda of those women. Rousey, you know? She should... I think that she should fight her, but, I mean, it does make a difference. I mean, think about fighting at what you walk around at. You just, your body's completely different. You move different, everything. You have to get used to that. And if she's not cutting the weight, she feels heavier. Who knows?
That's what I was going to say.
It's a combination.
I feel like if I was fighting my walk around weight, which is around 200, 195, 200, I just feel slow and bloated and...
Jordan used to fight at 205, and he was barely cutting.
Oh, I remember.
He did really well, but at the same time, the guys he was fighting, like Richard Hale, was huge.
I remember there was one dude, that was probably Richard Hale, that I think it was 205, but he came in, I think, overweight, and he looked like a heavyweight.
Yeah.
And I remember you beat him, but he just was huge.
I think you're thinking of Nick Rossborough.
Was that who it was? No, Nick Rossborough was the tall, bald dude that was on the Ultimate Fighter
before. And that was 185, wasn't it?
Yeah, he came in overweight.
And you guys just sat and swung.
Richard Hale made weight.
Did he make weight?
Yeah, he was right on.
I mean, that guy was massive.
Yeah, but he was the heavyweight and light heavyweight champion in Arizona. So he was used to fighting bigger as
well. Yeah, because I remember when you actually went in against him, and I was just like, that looks like two different divisions. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even look like they're...
It was.
Yeah.
And just like Conor McGregor just fought, you know, up, what, two weight classes?
Yeah, he fought at 170.
And, I mean, he looked really good at first, but it's a totally different... Your body's just different.
And for me and Richard Hale, it was a draw. We went
all five rounds.
And yeah, I didn't beat him. And I think we should have lost that fight.
It was pretty close. I remember, but I mean, the only other fight that I remember watching you fight in was Bristol Morende, where he was just bigger and just seemed to have more strength. And then you caught him in a triangle. And I remember being like, I remember being happy. I remember being stoked because I was like, that dude's just big. Like, yeah, he's just a powerful dude. And so, I mean, it shows you technique, obviously, over strength. And a lot of people said that was what was going to help Conor McGregor win. But one of the things they did talk about is exactly that. When you're cutting weight, you're running 5 or 6 miles a day. When you go in at weight, your cardio is probably not what it was to actually try and help you cut weight. You think that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I rely on the fact that I have to cut weight to help me keep in shape as far as cardio goes.
I just remember, I think I actually told this last week, is the one of the funniest times in the gym that I remember is you were trying to cut weight for a fight and just like yelling at Aldo for putting his gym in the middle of two pizza places in a Subway because they were like, yeah, just cooking pizza. And you're like, who the hell puts a gym right here?
Oh, it smells so good.
Sweat and pizza every day, guys.
Yeah. Well, because before they had it out in Clearfield and then they moved it into Layton, and like Clearfield, it was out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing else other than like other factories.
Yeah.
And then they moved it into Layton, and it was, one man band and then changed the pizza place.
It's tied to Little Caesars. It's like the same building.
Yeah, Little Caesars. I heard you guys are sponsored by Little Caesars.
Actually, Aldo does have a deal with them, doesn't he?
Kind of. They come over sometimes when they need more parking spaces, and they're like, if you guys move, we'll give you a pizza. Like, yeah, that's exactly what we all need in here.
Yeah. We'll give you a straight shot of cheese directly into your vein.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, you're cutting weight? Perfect. Let's get you some pizza.
So you fought both boxing and MMA. Do you feel like there's a big difference between training and actually fighting in both of those?
Oh yeah, there's a huge difference, especially if you're fighting somebody who really knows how to box, like a true boxer. If you're fighting another MMA fighter who's just boxing, it's not that big of a deal. But boxers are a different beast.
Can you go into depth a little bit more on that?
They know how to throw punches and protect themselves at the same time. They know how to hurt you to the body a lot better than an MMA fighter would know how to. They know how.
There's a lot more play with like angles and stuff like that too. Because I feel like I don't know. In MMA, it seems like with kicks and stuff like that, keeping people at range. I don't know if angling matters that much, but it seems like I watched the UR fight. Who was it last week? It was
Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, and like
a random MMA amateur.
Yeah, it was weird just like seeing the difference. Even he's like 47, and it seems like the guy couldn't even touch him, even though he was bigger, he was taller, and it, like Roy Jones was just, I don't know, maneuvering and things like that was just different.
Well, so yeah, that's, I'm glad you said that, because for me, angles should be a bigger deal in MMA. And when I coach people and I'm holding mitts for people, that's what we're working on. How do I get an angle where I can punch him and he can't punch me? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. In boxing, the angles are so much smaller, because you can stand right in front of the guy. You don't have to worry about him taking you down or clenching you, really. And I'm going to move my head 2 inches this way so you can't punch me, but I can punch you. As opposed to with MMA, the gloves are smaller. You can't take a glancing shot as easily, because with MMA, the gloves are so much smaller. A glancing shot's still going to put you on your butt sometimes or hurt you. So you tend not to stand in the pocket with people in MMA as opposed to boxing. That's all they do. They're straight in and straight out. It looks like they're not using angles a lot, but the angles are so minute compared to the MMA angles, because all they're doing is taking a little step to the outside, and now they've got a better angle than you, and now they're drilling you in your liver, and you're on your butt going, what just happened?
It was interesting watching this fight, because the one guy had only trained MMA, and it was his technical first professional fight. So, I mean, I think he'd fought a couple times amateur. I'm not absolutely sure, but he had a very much a MMA stance where he didn't really stay flat-footed. It was wide stance. You know, he was moving off of his back foot and his front foot kind of, you know, stepping. And then Roy Jones was in close, and you could actually see him, you know, maneuvering his head and actually, you know, trying to time his distance and everything. And it was very interesting to watch. So when you get into the debate, if you were to see like a Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, if they were to actually box, no MMA fighter would ever have a chance against a world-class boxer, you think?
I don't think so. I think it would. I mean, it's...
What about the Diaz brothers?
They would look good, but then they'd still lose.
Because they're supposed to have some of the best hands, yeah.
They don't have the power. They don't have...
It's a different type of training. It's completely different. Boxers are tighter. Mm-hmm. Their movements are so different.
But when you don't have to worry about a takedown.
You don't have to worry about head kicks. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You just have to worry about those hands coming to the body and the face. You don't have to worry about your legs. You just have to move.
Right.
And
so as a wife, would you rather see him fight MMA or boxing?
Oh, MMA by far.
And why is that?
Just
because my brain has
head hunting and boxing.
Jordan is an amazing kickboxer. Period. And my favorite thing to watch him do is kick people in the head. Kick people, period. And so boxing, for me, scares me with him because he's so well versed in MMA that it's just, I don't know. It worries me because boxing, like, you have to be really tight. Jordan likes to drop his front hand a lot. And I'm just like, it freaks me out. But in MMA, he can kind of get away with that.
So because I rely on head movement more than
blocking punches.
And so with the parries and whatnot.
Right. I'm sitting there, and I've cornered a lot of his boxing matches, and I'm just like, ugh, I'm just like stressed out. And I'm like, that check hook is coming, check hook's coming. And, you know, I'm just stressed out. But in MMA, he can drop his front hand all he wants. He can be a little bit looser. But the boxer gets in the right in the pocket. And
yeah, so, you know, so if I'm boxing and I'm – you know, not as good as being in the pocket and protecting myself and throwing hard punches from a really close position. I'm going to rely on staying outside and getting the bigger angles that I use when I'm fighting MMA. So I don't want to be there standing in front of the guy, but then eventually you get tired anyway. You're going to be standing there at some point.
So have you ever thought about doing just kickboxing, or have you competed in just kickboxing?
That's actually something we're working on, starting putting on shows with kickboxing and stuff, because there isn't much going on, especially after the Muay Thai Institute closed down. In Utah, there's no promotions for kickboxing.
There was supposed to be one next month. Sean Powers was putting on, but it got canceled.
How do you guys feel about the cross promotion between like sports? Like, do you think that they should be doing like MMA with kickboxing, like the UR fights and stuff like that, so that it,
or
like,
even
builds
Bellator
up kickboxing
picking up?
And, or do you guys not like that? Do you think they should stay separate?
I don't know.
I like them together, but in Utah, I think the commission changed the rules so you cannot have kickboxing in a cage. So they'd have to have
a cage
and then a ring next to it. So it'd be kind
of the annoying. UR fight. It was weird because that was part of the problem. Is they did use the same boxing ring
and a wrestling ring
and
a boxing ring and an MMA ring.
We
and
were
a
just at
ring.
A boxing match, and it was two heavyweights boxing. And the ring collapsed, and they fell out, and they both hit their head on the concrete.
Jeez.
And it was awful.
Did they sue?
I have no idea.
The guy was undefeated, and then...
Wow.
It might be contractually they might not be able to.
It was bad.
I doubt there.
And that was here in Utah?
Yeah, it was just...
At the Davis Conference.
What, like February?
No way.
January or February.
Yeah.
We were there cornering Gabe Paleo.
Paleo, yeah.
It was... It just looked like a little kid ring. They just went up against a rope and fell out. And Jordan has fought MMA in Russia in a ring, and he fell out.
Where Putin picked you up.
Yeah.
Right. I forgot about that.
So it's like, no, I don't like MMA in a ring, period. I just think it's a bad idea.
It's
not safe.
That's the only fight I ever had in a ring, an MMA fight in a ring. And it was, I hated it.
Did you realize it was Putin picking you up when he did it?
No.
Wait, that's legitimate?
No, yeah,
that
legitimate.
That wasn't a joke?
No, that wasn't a joke. Yeah, tell him the story.
Yeah,
you fighting in Russia?
I had a fight in Sochi, Russia, and it was Putin's a huge MMA fan, apparently. And they had, you know, the Secret Service, and somebody was joking. He said, "You see that building over there?" As we were walking up to the venue. It's like, yeah, there's snipers up there. I'm like, and I was laughing a little bit because I was like, I thought the fact that Putin was going to be there was a total joke. I didn't think they were serious the whole time.
Yeah, like you just say Putin. I'm like, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, anyways, what happened?
No, it was like a black tie affair. It was out on this, what do they call?
Mezzanine?
No.
So you could actually see
like
a beach or a...
We were in the water, so you have to walk out through the dock onto the huge, what do they call it?
Platform. I don't even know.
It's a platform.
Know. Yeah,
it's a platform out in the
A floating dock of some sort?
Yep. It wasn't floating, but it was, you know, it was a dock.
A pier?
A pier.
A huge pier, yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I was like, there's the word. You can tell we're from Utah when we're like, what do they have in water?
Water. It's
beach,
not like a pier that you would think of when you're just imagining a pier. They have piers on the beaches in California that are just one long straight thing. This one was one long straight thing and then a huge platform. And all these dignitaries were in there with their black ties, and Putin was sitting right there front and center. And the guy tried to take me down in the second round, and he switched a single leg to try to get on my back. And I was thinking, I'm just going to scrape him right off my back like I would if there was a cage right here. So I started turning, and he pitched forward, and we went right through the middle ropes. 4 feet down, bam, slammed my elbow on the ground. And I jumped right up, to see Putin standing right there. Yeah. Like, he was.
They have a video. He was the only guy who
moved. Yeah, he was the only guy.
One of the top five most powerful people in the world. Yeah. Just, oh, what's up, man?
It's yeah.
But, hey, thanks.
Okay. It's on YouTube. So
Spasiba, Presidente.
And I think it came out like 2 days later or whatever. Like, and it was like, hey, watch Jordan get picked up by Putin, and you watch him fall out of the ring, and all of a sudden you see him like a whole bunch of people helping him, and there's Putin right there.
How many countries have you fought in? Brazil, I knew that because you were practicing
Brazil and
Portuguese.
Russia, that's it. Russia. And all over the United States.
Do you usually go with him, Crystal, like lately or not?
I didn't go to Russia just because he wasn't there very long, and I wanted to make a vacation out of it if mm-hmm. we were going to go. But I'm afraid to go to Brazil because I want to, but I have a horrible immune system, and Jordan got sick there, so I know I would get sick.
Especially in Manaus.
Yeah.
They got the...
But I would love to, you know, but
I'm going to take her there someday. They got the witch doctors for you to get sick. The healthcare there is crazy.
They've got chicken feet above the doorways, and they let you in. And
yep. Then you go in the back room, and they tell you to pull your pants down. They put a needle in your butt. And
yeah.
Then you feel better.
So if you want to fly, I hesitate to go.
They give you Taiwanese sex pills that'll also make you pee hot.
That's a true story, though. That actually happened to me. Wait. Not the sex pills, but
oh, going in and getting a needle stuck in your bum.
Yeah, I got some. I thought it was the dengue fever, but the guy told me it probably wasn't the dengue.
Just like
what the mosquitoes will give you.
John Lineker just had.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what it was. I just got really sick really fast, and then I got better really fast after I got.
his immune system is crazy.
Did you have to take a pee test afterwards, and everything came out okay? And
no, I don't. I didn't worry about what the doctor gave me. I didn't have anything coming out.
I want whatever that was because he said that there was like menthol in it, so he got like this rush of like, his throat started feeling better.
Some nicotine.
And I'm like, I want that when I'm sick. That would be amazing.
Me too. A little bit of cortisol.
It cost me about $40 to get better for something that here you'd have gone to an emergency room and sat for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. And that was after the fight, though, right?
I didn't have a fight. Yeah.
I was thinking that was before your jungle fight, and I was like, I don't know if I would trust that before I fought.
No,
walking
in
and getting a needle in the butt.
I didn't have to worry about what was in my system. No, I've been to Brazil 5 or 6 times. Most of the time was just because Anderson was getting ready for a fight, and I was.
So are you still pretty well integrated into the Black House team, or how is that working?
Well, I haven't. I'm really good friends with Ed Suarez and Nathan Gable. The lawyer of the Black House, and
we love Ed. Just yeah, so you know.
Ed Suarez also runs the RFA.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were just in
they
town.
Were just here. Yeah,
yeah.
They had some really good fights while they were
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I got to see him and talk to him. But the fact that I'm on a hiatus from fighting until I get an MRI for my brain, I haven't been down there to train lately. I heard Anderson kind of made a split from his old team. I haven't talked to Anderson in a couple years
because everyone wants him to retire.
No.
Other than himself?
It was personal drama stuff, I think, which was sad to hear about. But,
how often does that happen? Like, not that gym, but like you hear Alpha Male, you hear Black House, you hear Winkle John, where you've got Andre Arlovsky's going to fight against Alistair Overeem there from the same gym. How often is there drama within a gym that forces somebody to leave? Black Zillions, I believe, had a whole bunch of issues with Alistair Overeem as well.
I think it's a little different when it comes to Anderson and Lyoto Machida.
No, yeah, no, but I'm talking like in general. Like, I'm not talking specific people that you know
right.
and specific issues.
I think
but.
In general, people are kind of selfish about what the next fight they can do for them kind of thing, which is definitely understandable as a fighter stance. When you think, yeah, me and you are friends and we've trained for a long time, but this is
a small
fight.
Window.
The UFC is offering this fight, and if I don't take it, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's fine. With Anderson and Lyoto and guys who've been around and bigger names, they have this unwritten kind of
bro code.
Bro code, I feel, yeah, bro code.
Well, you have to remember all different cultures
right.
in the
in
sport.
One place.
Oh, yeah.
And Brazilians are different.
Yeah.
And they're more loyal to the guys that they consider in their group of family members. Mm-hmm. And then they're intensely, intensely against the guys that aren't in their Brazilian family.
Well, I remember hearing stories from Pride.
Vitor Belfort kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing stories from Pride.
With going up to 145 with Aldo. wonder how that's going to work.
I don't think Hennenbrau is still a Black House, is he? Is Burrell still?
They're at Nova Unow.
No, they're... Yeah. Oh, they both are.
Yeah. Aldo hasn't been with Black House for a long time.
That's what I... Yeah, see, and that's what I thought, too. But with Pride, I remember they talked about that, where it was like, when the Americans went out, the Americans had to take care of the Americans because the Portuguese were all together and fights would break out and weird things would happen. And even the Russians that were out there in Pride, like, it was country by country. Like, yeah, you had it, but, like, they talked about when like Phil Baroni would go out with Mark Coleman and Kerr and those guys, and they would be like, if you were fighting for the United States, all of a sudden you were buddies with those guys, because almost like a jail where you had to like, okay, here are my people. So the only way I'm going to be able to survive this and get out of here is by, you know, joining up.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Anderson and Lyoto, they almost crossed paths at one point when Lyoto was talking about dropping weight and stuff like that. I don't think they would ever fight. But when it comes to
hypothetically, who would you have in that fight?
It's a lot different now, man.
That's not fair.
Well, they're
both really good friends of mine. So.
But that's a rough question too, because
they're going to do it though.
If you think 5 or 6 years ago, as compared to now, I think it would be a completely different fight.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I want to know who'd win.
I mean, I'd rather see them fight 5 years ago.
Well, we don't have 5 years
ago.
It's not going to happen.
It won't happen now. There's
I'm
no
not,
reason.
I'm not going to make a pick because it's never going to happen.
They're both at 185.
I can tell you what's not going to happen. This is probably not going to get to either of them. So you don't really have to worry about it. So going back to you, Crystal, watching him fight. So actually going to the fights, you go to most of the local ones. Have you ever cornered him before? And how does that?
A couple times.
How rough is that?
I don't mind the blood. I don't mind him getting injured. I don't care if he breaks his leg. I don't care about any of that. I hate seeing him lose because of how it affects him after.
Psychological.
So yeah. It's hard for me to watch because of that. I don't mind watching my him emotions. Get punched. I don't care about the bruising. It's just, his when he has feelings, that's when it's hard.
Well,
it was hard for me to like watch you just because of Justin. Like Justin would get like super anxious, and I remember watching
the Smith brothers almost got in a couple fights in the stands, and people would root against you.
Josh
every time.
Josh, alcohol was usually involved. The rest of us were sober.
I miss Josh.
Yeah, man.
Everyone misses Josh. Everyone.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he moved. Now he's in Salt Lake right now, right?
North Salt Lake.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that after with good old Jody.
But no, I mean, just even watching Tough, like that was like the first time I'd ever seen you fight, and just like in our living room. We were in Vegas at the time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was just like, just seeing Justin gave me anxiety. And it's like, I wasn't even invested in it. Like, I'd never met you or anything. And I was like, gosh, damn it.
Yeah.
He got knocked out.
It's hard because I'm in the gym every day and I'll see stuff that I'm worried about. And then when he does it in the fight, I'm like, swearing, and I'm just like, Jordan,
why didn't
seriously?
I tell him not to do that?
And I'm really hard on him, so I have to shut up.
Is that ever rough though, getting critiqued by your wife, not only in like general life things, but also in like your career, like your fight game?
He just got mad at me the other day because we're coaching this newer guy at the gym who we absolutely adore, and Jordan, you know, he's trying to fill him out so that he can help him, and I'm like cutting
she
in.
Asks me yeah she asks me to hold mitts for him. And I'm having them throw different combinations, and I'm looking at all the things that are wrong. And she stops us right in the middle of it and says, hey, stop doing that with this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that was just one of a dozen things that I was going to tell him after I took a full
view
of what, you know, what his problem is.
So good thing you guys work in two different places. Otherwise, you guys would have nothing to talk about. It's like one of those couple, the couple that spend so much time together that they've already talked about everything.
Jordan hasn't been in the gym as much lately, so
yeah,
that's what I get every day. Where's Jordan? Where's Jordan?
Well, he's working.
You know what I've learned, though? This is what I've always talked about. When I go back home, so back up to Layton, and I go to like a gym or something, and everyone's like, how's your brother doing? It's always because they don't know what else to talk to you about, and so that's the only point of contact that they have, and so that's what they bring up every single time.
And she acts like that only happens to her. The same thing happens to me as soon as I walk into the gym if she's not there.
It's probably completely different, though.
Yeah.
Crystal always makes my day better. Where's Crystal?
You're
here.
I thought
she was Aldo's favorite. You hear that, Aldo? I'm your favorite. I already
Speaking of Aldo, how's this little girl doing? She's probably like 6 now?
She's 8, I think.
Holy cow. Yeah, is she still super chunky?
Yeah.
You can't say that.
I think she's
I don't know. At 8, obviously, I can't say that. So you can just say no. But I mean, when she was 3, man. I remember
Baby Fedor.
She's thicker, yeah. You know. She'll grow into it. She'll grow into her.
Well, I mean, she'll train and she'll do all that. That's not a
figure.
I come from we come from the Weeks family. I mean, their dad's what 6'5", their mom's 5'10". Like, yeah, they're all gonna be athletes. But yep, like,
and Soren,
Soren's already about Chelsea. My wife,
I didn't see her in like a year, and she looks like a totally different person. Well, she looks like your sister now.
Yeah, well, she acts like my sister.
Oh god.
Yeah, yeah. I try and tell her if she wants friends, she's got to stop acting like Nikki.
That's messed up.
Yeah, you know how your sister, you know how your mother hated high school.
Oh, do you guys? And now you guys are wondering why I don't want to have a girl. Hey, now you know. All you guys are sitting here talking about all this. This is exactly why.
Hey,
okay?
there's plenty of women. As long as she's not like you, she'll be fine.
I know. That's exactly why I didn't want a girl.
You
guys.
Or your mom.
You or your mom.
Yeah. See, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So. One question I have, so if you go and you fight and afterwards you have to go to the hospital, is that covered by like the contract? Do you have a temporary insurance, or how does that actually work for fighters?
Yep.
And what level does that actually start at? I mean, does that start on a local level?
Oh, you have to use your own insurance first.
So yeah, they've changed the rules a few times in the last 5 years, but they started protecting fighters by saying that the promotions had to have an insurance, otherwise they couldn't even have a fight. Even for amateurs, which is great. So it does start. And then I think just 2 years ago, they changed it so that if you do have insurance, you have to use your insurance first, and then the fight promotions insurance will cover
it. So it acts like essentially like military insurance, where your insurance picks up first, and then they just pick up the percentage and the deductible.
Yeah, but they're not covered at all during training, fight camp, nothing. Yeah. They're not covered.
And so if you're...
But on their insurance, you would be, but not, I mean, the other insurance doesn't pick up,
but if you're a pro fighter, you don't have your own insurance.
No.
But on that point, they changed that rule for some of the bigger promotions, so that now in the UFC you are covered during your training camp as soon as you sign your contract for the fight. Mm-hmm. So if you get hurt 2 weeks before the fight, they're going to cover that instead of, because guys would pretend like they weren't hurt and they'd go in the ring and then say, well,
Jordan
this happened
has done that. Jordan has done that.
I didn't do that. With what?
Your ankle you took against Dave Rickles. You rolled your ankle. Should not have
it
taken
was popped.
That.
I watched him fight just the other day, and I still have a burning anger
but
for Dave.
But if Jordan hadn't rolled his ankle and cut to that, he cut a lot of weight for that fight.
25 pounds
been totally
in 2
different.
Weeks.
Would have been a totally different fight.
I don't know. It was a short notice fight, but it was a big opportunity. So I took it, cut 25 pounds in 2 weeks. I was rolling my last hard day of training at the Black House for that fight with Kevin Casey, who's in the UFC now. He's great. I love Kevin Casey, but we were going hard, and we were doing jiu-jitsu, and I tried to get out of one of his takedowns, and my ankle ended up getting popped the way he grabbed it, which sucked. And, it was definitely in the back of my head. I threw my first leg kick, and it hurt. It's the first time I've really felt anything in the cage. Then I'm thinking about my foot, and I probably don't have a lot of water in my brain because I cut so much weight so fast. But
that's what I was going
to
ask you about.
A lot of fighters don't have a choice that aren't signed with the UFC. Now that they've changed that. They have to pretend they're not hurt because they have a mortgage. They have a family. And this is how they're making
their
money.
Their wife chose to get pregnant.
Yeah, it was just me.
Get off your pill. It's
frustrating. And that's what we see locally all the time. People, you know, they're injured. They probably shouldn't be fighting, but they're fighting because they have bills and this is their job.
There's actually Looking for a Fight, which is Dana White's new like YouTube show where they go to local promotions and whatever. There was actually a kid that usually fights at 155. He jumped up to welterweight so he could get on the card that Dana White was going to be at. Mm-hmm. There was an obvious size difference. He ended up losing the fight, and they actually told him, like, hey, don't do that. If we're coming into town, we want to see you your best. So if you succeed, we can actually sign you.
He was winning
that
whole fight.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge size difference, but he was a much better technical fighter. But he ended up getting a cut, and it was actually called. So it wasn't even – he didn't lose the fight by decision or anything else. He just had got – sustained too much damage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the other difficult part. I remember when you were fighting at 185 and then you dropped, I believe, to 170. And part of that was because the 185 division at that time was like so – that was the division to not fight in. And I think a lot of the Black House guys were 185 and different things like that. So you ended up dropping to 170. And it might have been also to get into the Tough House or whatever else. But that – how much do you think that kind of weight cut does actually affect, you know, getting knocked out or the physicality or things like that?
If you do it right and you don't try to cut 20 pounds the week of the fight, you're fine. especially now, which is illegal to do IVs and stuff, you got to replace those fluids. But when you cut too much water too fast and too short of a time, obviously your brain is not going to have as much water to protect it. So when you get head trauma, your brain's bouncing around in its skull, you know, it's going to be a lot easier for you to get knocked out. And I can attest to that, especially with the Dave Rickles fight. And ever since, I've always tried to cut, you know, less than 10 pounds a week of water, because then I feel like I'm okay. I can just take the water out of my skin as opposed to having to take it out of my muscles, out of my organs, things like that, and be okay.
You guys feel like it was a good move to, like, outlaw the IVs, or do you think it should be kept in?
I think people are going to get hurt.
I think so, too.
I think it was a horrible move. People have been doing this for years and years, and they depend on the IVs to put them back where they need to go. If they're going to change a rule like that to protect, quote-unquote, fighters, they need to change the rules about how much you can actually cut. They need to say, look, if you're walking around at 190 pounds and you want to fight at 155, that's not going to happen. They need to be checking people's They need to be checking people's weights 2 months before they sign the contract.
That's what I was going to ask. If you take
Anthony Johnson walking around at 220,
yeah.
That one. Speaking of weight cut, I just have to shout out to Jordan Chandler because he's the weight cut master.
He used to
seriously.
He's the Mike Dolce of Utah.
He is. unbelievable, in great shape, and I've seen him cut down to my weight. He has been to 135, and he walks around at like 180 sometimes.
Is he doing kickboxing? And what is he doing now?
He has an MMA fight April 9th.
2 weeks.
He's great at
the
dieting.
Nicest kid, yeah.
He's just, you know, Jordan's been with him in the steam room, just he's dying with an ice bucket, and he make weight. And he's healthy about it. He's the weight cut master.
He was the nicest guy. That was one of the, he was like one of the ones, him and Cesar, but like at.
But we went to school with Cesar, so it's a little bit different. Yeah, he's my age. Like, we went to high school together.
He was the one that like always would sit there with me and be like, no. Everything wrong. And he would actually like take me aside. I really like Jordan Chandler a lot.
Yeah, he's awesome. He actually started training at our gym because he fought Jai. Jai beat him, and he's like, I obviously need to go over there.
Is Jai still fighting?
He is.
Off and on. He doesn't have the time to train like he should for fights because he works so much. But
and he lives in Salt Lake, so it's
one
difficult.
Other, I'm sorry, cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the one other question that I had about weight cutting while we were on it, because like a couple weeks ago we were talking about it, and I was wondering like why they don't just do it day of so people just couldn't cut weight. Do you think people still would and it would just create like all sorts of problems?
What do you mean by do it day of?
Or excuse me, not like weigh in day of day instead
weigh-in.
Of weigh
in. You'd weigh in
day
in the morning and then you'd fight at night.
I think that'd be dangerous as well.
So you think people are going to cut regardless?
Oh yeah, okay. They're going to try. Everybody's going to try and get an advantage over their opponents, whatever way they can. Which is one of the biggest reasons I decided to cut to 170 because, you know, I played football at 245 in college. But when you're training football and lifting heavy and you're in shape for those 5 second spurts, you need to be in shape for. It's a lot different. So over the years of training MMA and fighting, my body just kept shrinking, and then I fought at 185 against Ross Rowe, who is 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah,
there's just so many big people. Right.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Mm-hmm. And for
is he still around?
Yes.
Why? This is how I gauge things. If you're on the local circuit and you lost to Jordan and it's 5-6 years later, you probably shouldn't still be around. But people can advance in 5 or 6 years. And
well, even
things
still,
can happen.
You have a love for it, too. Like, I mean, I never, I was only there a year, and I still, like, I went and tried out Absolute for a week because they never told me how much, like, I need to pay or anything. So it was weird. Anyways, but, like, I don't know.
That's where Nick is now. That's where Nick
is. At Absolute. Mm-hmm.
There's a BJJ place right up the street from where I live, actually, on 106th or something like that.
It's a UFC gym, too.
Yeah.
Just
Ross Bro is fighting in a, I think, I can't remember what organization, but he was fighting for a belt last time I heard.
There's a lot of like Legacy FC was last night and none of their fights went to decision. Like as we started doing this, you realize how often there are actual fights. There was almost like 3 or 4 fight cards all over the nation last
every
night.
Every week, yeah.
Yeah, and I played the UFC game instead.
It's funny that you say, why is he so... It makes me laugh because I'm like Kimbo fought? What?
Well, he's still fighting because he's using steroids. That's a lot different.
Well, I'm just like, people that you wouldn't think would be fighting still, they are.
Speaking of interesting things that were brought up, the guy that did Bigger, Faster, Stronger, the documentary was just on the Chael Sonnen show. Chris Bell was just on it. He talked about prescription drug abuse. And one of the things that happens is when you use a lot of different types of prescription drugs and then use the things to wean off and different things like that, they shoot your potassium levels through the roof. And it was interesting because Data 5000 actually went to the hospital because his potassium levels were through the roof. And it makes me think that he might have had...
Is that what made his kidney shut down?
Some I don't know any of that works. He might have had some kind of other prescription drug or issue. And I don't want to just throw that out there. But it's interesting that they say, oh, here's your potassium.
You just did.
Here's your potassium issue. And here's what causes a high level of potassium out of nowhere. And so... I wonder if they're correlated in any way, shape, or form. Nonetheless, that was in Texas, and everyone trashed on their commission and a whole bunch of different things like that. But let's talk about what's next for you, and then we'll get to upcoming fights. So you're going to get an MRI.
Yeah, I'm working real job. Got a real job again. I'm got my white collar on. It's a little tight. But in all reality, I started boxing more in the last couple of years because of the other injuries I had. My elbows were hurting. It really kills me to do jiu-jitsu. So I was like, well, I'm gonna start boxing a little bit so I can keep making money, maybe make some big bucks. There's a lot more money in boxing than there is in MMA.
Why do you think that is?
Because just it's been around and... longer, and the unions, yeah, that's a whole other can of worms until the UFC fighters get some kind of union going.
Do you have to sign it? When you sign a contract with the UFC or when someone signs a contract, do they have to sign a non-union? Is that part of the contract?
I'm sure it is. I don't remember. Those forms are so long.
They keep them pretty hush. Well, usually you pay someone else to read it. But I wonder why, like, John Fitch and those guys never said union until they left the UFC. And I always wondered if it was because contractually, as a fighter in the UFC, contract to the UFC, you could not unionize.
You can't. It's just like Walmart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're working there and you want to continue working there, you're not going to say stuff like that.
Yep.
It's not good for your career to start talking about fighters unions when you're
trying to make a career. Yeah. You know?
So I think because boxing's been around so long, there's so many people with money involved in it. I could have put a five or six wins together and went and got knocked out and got paid $20,000 mm-hmm. to get knocked out because somebody's grooming a fighter who's going to be the next best thing. And they've got a bunch of money bags behind them just saying, okay, the next guy you're going to fight is this guy because you're going to beat him, you know, and maybe go get knocked out or, you know, knock him out and then everybody's going to be looking at me kind of thing. So that's what I was doing. And then I started getting vertigo problems and I started losing fights because I was dizzy and not.
That's an inner ear problem.
That's what I thought. You know, I went to the doctor, and he asked me all these questions, and you sit down, and they ask you all these questions, and it's like, have you had any anger issues lately? I'm like, I've had anger issues my whole life. But if I think hard about it, and I'm being honest about it, I have been a little short-tempered. Do you this, and that? So you go through all these questions, and the doctor looks at you and says, well, your ears and your eyes and everything looks good. It sounds like you might have symptoms of traumatic brain injury. Like, oh, okay. So with the doctor, they don't really understand if they've not been around fighting. They don't understand. So I had to explain to them the difference between, like, a knockout where you go to sleep and then, like, a flash knockout where you're still awake, your eyes are open, you're talking to people, but you don't remember anything, which is the only thing I've ever had. When I lost on the Tough Show, I don't remember 10 minutes of my life. I woke up on the sidewalk out in front of the casinos in my fight shorts, and my hands were still wrapped, and I'm looking around like, where am I? And then I had to, like, go back and remember everything. Okay, well, I remember getting here. I remember warming up. God, what happened? And I didn't know what had happened until I watched it on TV the same time you guys did.
Yeah, I remember talking about that.
That's what Justin told me. He's like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't show it to him. And they wouldn't. The interesting thing, I've been knocked out once, and I fell out of a tree and hit my head. I woke up the next day and couldn't remember, like, 8 hours of my life.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but you were still awake, right?
Yeah, no, I
no, nobody and, yeah, knew
nobody
how
knew
bad
it.
Yep. You were.
Yeah. Everyone was there. They were still talking to me. They didn't realize until I threw up, which was like the number one bad sign for a concussion.
So that's a major
that something
concussion.
Was wrong. Yeah.
But for me, I've had a lot of little minor concussions, which the doctor said, okay, anytime you don't remember something or you get deja vu and things like that, those are all minor concussions. I'm like, well, I couldn't count. It's probably, you know,
did
I
you get very football many in football? Or
right, more, I played football for 11 years.
Did yeah, you get very much, is there more in fighting?
I don't know. I would say there's probably more in football.
I made him watch that concussion movie and freaked him out because I'm like, that is a real
well, and that's the hard part is it won't come up on your MRI.
No, but
well, unless they know what they're looking for.
Yeah,
they're
certain.
Is it, do they actually, no, well, can they search for it now?
I mean, I don't think the actual CTE, like, I don't, I think they actually have to, like, study the tissue, like,
after death.
After death, yeah.
For those kind of things.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's still, like, telltale signs that you can, I mean, they have protocols. The NFL has protocols. The UFC has protocols of ways to figure out if you're all right.
And that's why I'm...
What is the rule with knockouts? If you've been, like, they suspend you, don't they?
It's 6 months, right?
It's 60 days if it was, you went to sleep knockout. It's 30 days if it was a flash knockout, like a TKO. But... That's kind of why I've been putting off my MRI. I'm trying to find the best place who knows what they're looking for, who can actually give me a definitive answer, as opposed to just going to.
Do you know, like,
hospital.
There's this really dude from Nigeria?
His name's Will Smith.
Yeah.
No, he has an MRI. Scott Bowler, who is about to be the head commissioner here soon, who is amazing, who we love, has offered
Scott, yeah.
to get Jordan an
well, there's
MRI.
A great place called US MRI, and they've got a lot of experience with. Traumatic.
I mean, I work in insurance. How does that work with insurance?
Yeah,
you're just
like... waiting for your new job to give you insurance so you can go in and get a cover?
Well, I've had insurance under her for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Mama.
I do have my own insurance now. If I wanted it, I don't need it, so I don't pay for it yet. But
my concern is more just because I work in appeals, and so I see this stuff all the time. And so I just get worried when people are like, yeah, I'm going to go see this because it's a super awesome specialist. And then it's like they call me and they're like, why am I getting charged $10,000?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've been kind of waiting for with... I know a lot of people, and I can kind of get the hookup. You know,
that's good.
Well, there's a
you can get in after hours.
Places.
You can go to the VA.
Yeah. There's a couple places. There's one in Vegas that he found, and I guess Scott said there's one here that is doing studies on it.
Yeah, there's got to be people that would love to look at your brain.
You know, we're trying to get him to go there.
Post-mortem.
Just, yeah, I'd be normal.
I think he's afraid to hear what.
Hey,
it's a scary thing.
I would be, too.
Right. It is.
But we don't. Yeah, no, I would be. That's like anything. That's like... The people that have big old goiters on their neck that are like, no, it's fine. It'll go away. It's like, no, man. Your goiter's not going away.
It's bleeding.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
But no, so we've got about 10 minutes left. Let's actually get into something a lot less serious. Let's talk fights. So Ben Rothwell, Junior Dos Santos coming up this weekend. Ben Rothwell, if you don't know, has been told that he's going to lose like his last, I don't know, his entire career. And has won, I think, five in a row. Is it four? He has one of the longest win streaks in the heavyweight division.
He has the longest.
I think it's tied.
For Doom.
Yeah. And Junior Dos Santos is coming off a knockout from Alistair Overeem. So what are your thoughts on this fight? Who do you got, and how do you see it going down?
You know, I gotta go with Junior. He's my guy. I'm biased, of course, because I got to train with him quite a bit when I was with Anderson off and on, and he's... the nicest guy.
I was going to say, he seems like the most lovable guy
in
the world.
Oh, my God, he's great. And he's just, that's kind of how I see myself, because I'm really nice, and I'm a nice guy. And then I get in the cage, and I go, and he freaks out and just rips people's head off.
I almost think he's not mean enough in the cage.
He used to be meaner, for sure.
Did he?
I feel like, again,
so did you.
I was going to say, again, it's just like me, where at a certain point, you get to a level of skill where you need to be fighting smarter instead of just angry all the time.
That makes
sense. Yeah. So I hope he can tap into his unfettered anger and aggression and just go after Ben the way he should.
Who would you like to see Robbie Lawler fight next?
I don't know. But
welterweight.
I just want to say I am so proud of Robbie. He's one of those guys that somebody would have been like, why is he still fighting? And he has just come back with it.
He's basically the story of Warrior. Where
right.
It's like he went to Strikeforce, he got crushed by everybody because he just didn't have it in him anymore. They got bought out by the UFC, and he just went on a tear.
Yeah, proud of him. Who would I like to see him fight?
So we've got Sean Thompson's doing really well, the karate dude. We've got Tyrone Woodley. We've got, who else is there in that mix? Rory McDonald and Stephen Thompson are going to be fighting. Damian Maia.
You don't think he should get it at welterweight?
No.
A jiu-jitsu guy,
I think he should. I think he should. I don't think the UFC will make it because it's going to be boring fight.
Yeah.
And at some point, you
have to do 200.
You can't take like an established name like Maia. We'll let you guys answer the question. I'm sorry.
And we've discussed it. Well, this is what we do. At UFC 200, Maia will not fight Robbie Lawler. We know that Rory McDonald won't and Stephen Thompson.
You don't know that Robbie Lawler's going to be on that card anyways.
How's Woodley
I'm pretty
doing?
Sure.
Because
really good.
Woodley's done really, Woodley's done really well. He actually deserves it. I don't know what his record is.
He's
but
on a streak.
He's won he's three in a row, I believe.
Four. He's out of St. Charles, Missouri. He was actually on the card.
Ferguson.
For my very first amateur fight ever.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, St. Charles, Missouri, at the St. Charles whatever center.
I think I actually saw him at the airport one time.
Yeah, after he started getting big, I was proud to see him up there, and now he's doing well. He's exciting enough that I think him and Robbie would make it.
I just don't want to see Robbie take another one of those wars.
He's going to wrestle. Woodley would take him down. Woodley's a Division I wrestler, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's so good with stand-up that he doesn't lean on
it.
But
for a title, title fight, though?
I think they'd bang it out. I think I don't the only see time Woodley.
Robbie. Crystal, what do you think?
I like Robbie. I don't know out of that.
That right
I
now,
don't even know.
Welterweight right now is by far the most exciting division.
Not true. But
well, one he thinks 155. I think welterweight at this very moment when Conor McGregor is not holding a hostage. but nonetheless, Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor too. What do you guys think about that?
Does Conor want a rematch?
It's not confirmed, but that's what they say that's going
to
happen.
He wants it at 170, too, and Nate's trying to get it at 155, but Conor wants it at 170.
So he has no excuses.
I think, I don't know. I got to say that I didn't like Conor at all until he took that loss like a champion.
That's what everyone
I thought he
says.
Was going to be a big baby about it.
I like the way Nate
excuses.
Handled it after.
I'm not surprised.
Because I'm not a fan of him, but that was amazing. I was like,
I've heard the Diaz brothers come off as like rough and tumble, but in real life they're supposed to be really nice guys.
Court McGee is good friends with them, and I've never met the Diaz brothers myself, but he will attest to that fact that they are really great guys. So
that's
and I'll take Court's word for it. TV personality they're trying to.
I think
that's
the thing. They
that's the problem. I think they don't have one.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
They hate the camera in front of them, and it's just like, it's just looking
get
at
out
Nate,
my face.
There's some people. Mike Tyson for a long period of time didn't do. He didn't want to do interviews, and until he got big, they made him.
Oh, but he
actually
had the best interviews ever.
And then what happened is after he took a couple punches to the head and got really famous, he started to talk too much.
And that's when it turned gray.
And that's when it got. He told people he'd eat their children and all kinds of weird stuff.
That's what I'm gonna start doing.
And have sex with them until they love him.
Yeah,
George.
Yeah, I'm gonna make my comeback. I'm gonna get big and huge. My brain's gonna be toast, and I'm just gonna have the most ridiculous interviews ever.
Face tattoo. Yep. You have a tiger.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I'm gonna eat your children.
Whatever.
We're in that entourage.
So
we're in that entourage.
John Jones versus Daniel Cormier 2. What do you think?
I am excited to watch fight for sure. I'd like to see Daniel take that one.
Me too.
And why is that?
John Jones, he was a kid. You know what I mean? He was a kid when he became the champion of the world. And I don't like the way he has handled it. I don't like who he's become.
So they actually had a big unstoppable press conference where DC got booed anytime he tried to point out what John Jones had done wrong. What do you think about that? So he would say,
"You guys are booing me. I've been clean my whole life. I've been an Olympian, and this guy, because he's been clean for 2 months, you're cheering him.
6 months, but yeah,
they're booing the hell out of him.
So yeah, so DC at first started taking shots at John Jones, and the crowd actually started to support John Jones and started to boo Daniel Cormier.
Wow,
yeah,
from
what
the onset,
John Jones saying."
He was just like, I can't hear you. What was that? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, no. He really didn't hear him, I don't think.
Well, the first time he was going at him. He was like, I couldn't hear him over the booze. What was that? What did he say?
Well, apparently, Daniel Cormier's big thing is that John Jones is fake. He'll say things backstage that he won't say in front of other people, which I think a lot of people do. I think that's a pretty normal thing, to be honest.
No, it's normal for people like that.
But no, let's think about it like this. All right, so you and I, as family, are sitting down and we're talking about someone we know and we're joking around or whatever it is, and then we go out on a public persona. Chances are we're not going to repeat the exact same things that we said.
That's true, but if you're going to take one stance in the back when you're talking to somebody or to Daniel's face in the back,
yeah,
and then pretend like he didn't say all those things.
Oh, he admitted it. He admitted it this time. So if you remember from the first one, they actually got it when supposedly they turned the cameras off And John Jones was like, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to literally kill you.
Right.
And
then it came out. Why can't he say that in front of everybody?
Because he thought he had to put on a front. And now he says he didn't. And now what happened is he said that he was going to make Daniel SSD, if I remember correctly.
And that's
Daniel was like, did you say that or did you not say that? Did you say that or did you not say that? And he didn't hear him. And John Jones was like, I absolutely said that.
Yeah. So that's, to me, own up to who you are. Be who you are in front of the cameras when you know everybody's watching and not fake person. I'm with Daniel Cormier on that.
I think most people
Right. Except for everybody who was booing at that press conference.
Well, think about most MMA fans.
It's Americans. Americans love champions. Yeah. They don't care if it's the Patriots.
I feel like John Jones needs to lose some fights. He needs to go through some adversity.
He's not going to lose.
The adversity of being a famous young person who doesn't know how to handle it yet and gets into drugs and things like that.
Yeah, well, nobody thought Rousey would lose.
That's different. How's that different? Women's MMA is leaps and bounds behind men's MMA.
Yeah, but look at all the new rules they've got going on as far as IVs, weight cutting, steroids, testing, things like that. Everything's going to change when you look at how.
And I agree with that.
And Daniel's been watching Chris
when Weidman USADA, beat right when life. Weidman beat Anderson. If you watch that fight and then you watch the fight he just had with Rockhold, it was Luke, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even look like the same person because of
IVs and weight cuts and all kinds of other.
So let's see how John Jones comes out, who isn't exactly clean, and Daniel Cormier, who, like you said,
was an Olympic level wrestler, tested his entire life.
He doesn't feel like he needs those extra things to get ready for a fight.
It's interesting that you say that because that's actually one of the arguments that was put forward, I think, by Chael Sonnen. Like, let's see.
Don't do that. Don't compare me.
No. What's
don't
it?
Say I
oh,
said
Oh, I listen to a lot of Chael Sonnen.
I'm just joking.
We listen to the MMA Hour, too. He's not as bad as he used to be. He's actually a pretty level-headed MMA talker now.
Right, he got
don't
it.
Ruin.
He's funny.
Oh, he's way funny.
I think he's funny, too. Don't ruin Chael Sonnen for Justin.
Yeah.
You already ruined Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan. I can't watch a fight without
ever since
like,
we went to,
apparently people hate Joe Rogan.
I smoke a little rock.
Ever since we went to Aldo's house.
I've always heard he's actually really cool.
I like Joe Rogan. I don't like listening to him call a fight.
And that's what I think most people are. He's like, oh, he's going to try for this. And everyone in the room was like, no, he's not. He's not even anywhere near the position
Shut
to
up,
go for
that.
His biggest problem is he picks a fighter that he likes, and he's commentating. It's biased. You can hear it.
Mike Goldberg's a color commentator.
Dan Hardy takes over in August.
Yeah, I want to see Dan. We both think Dan Hardy. But nonetheless, the comment was made, and I can't remember what it was on, but this is the first time that John Jones will be able to compete without any kind of IV and a lot of the other regulations that are going on.
And he's bigger now.
And he's much bigger now.
Well, steroids can help you cut weight. It'll lean you out and thin you out. Well, that's one of the reasons people use it for a lot of things.
Well, and if you're non-competition, too. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, if you know you're not going to get tested, or even if you – like, that's the big complaint with Wanderlei Silva right now. Wanderlei Silva got pinged when he was out of competition. So technically, yeah, he shouldn't be using steroids, but he wasn't under contract. So therefore, the
– He was out of competition because he had his fight with Chael.
But they hadn't signed the contracts.
But that's how everybody does it. They cycle on and cycle off. They know when they're
going to
test. Yeah,
they know when they're going to be – yeah.
Now the new rules are
– they can test
them
whenever.
Test you whenever. So everybody's trying to get clean permanently. And you get guys like Weidman, who looked like a beast against somebody like Rockhold, and he doesn't...
But look at Rockhold. That dude still is massive.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, that dude's...
Right, and then you talk about weight classes. Where should Weidman really be based on some a body that is not performance-enhanced?
So how many people do you think in the UFC are actually on steroids? I don't know if you can answer that, but I mean...
I can answer that. I only know of all the UFC fighters that I met and trained with, I only know one of them for sure that has never taken anything.
And that makes perfect sense. But so we're going a little over. So if you guys have anywhere to go, let me know. But one of my things, and he's got to leave at 2:30, but one of my things is I don't feel as close as gyms are and as close as people are at the gym, I don't feel like one person at a gym could use steroids without everyone else at the gym knowing that they're using steroids.
It's funny you say that because...
You can tell.
But I don't even. We're not even doing the eye check where you like look at a Gleison Tibau or Yoel Romero or like Hector Lombard, and you're like,
people talk about. I know what you're saying.
But I'm talking
people
like
talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not even like the Black Zillions. Like if I were a coach or if I were at a gym, the first thing I would say is, if you ping hot, you can no longer fight here because that blemishes the entire gym. Because if you ping hot, there should be. Most likely, you're either bringing it in or you know somebody that's also distributing it to other people at the gym.
I think that they're all friends. Like, nobody's going to
No, they're not going to tattle on each other.
But they're not even also going to take their livelihood and be like, yeah, you can't train here anymore. Like, no. First off, nobody associates it with the gym. Like, I never have. I've never been like...
My first thing is with how close-knit fighters are, there's no way that if one person's using, that someone else at that gym doesn't know that they're using.
Yeah, but it never affected your opinion of another fighter in the gym before.
No, they just get teased.
Yeah, or even like... But I'm even talking about just like his, like... If, who was it, like, Jake Shields got pinged, but you never thought bad about the Diaz brothers. Well, you didn't like them anyways, but, I mean...
Yeah, no, that doesn't mean I didn't think... I think if somebody gets pinged at one gym, chances are there's way more people at that gym that are using as well. And they're probably all using the same person to bring it in.
Just,
well, that...
We just had this the other day. One of our fighters brought a needle in to drain his ear. And he was just chilling on his shoes, and... We suspect that there's another guy at the gym doing steroids.
Yeah,
so
and
like,
I used to take.
Is this your stuff?
I used to take vitamin B intravenously. Yeah, put it right in my butt.
And it's not like it's difficult to find. I mean,
yeah, they
Ryan,
just get teased. We know. Yeah. You know.
Right. I think you have a good point, but the point's moot because there's so many people already using it.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
That makes sense. And your point.
And they're not going to shut a gym down by throwing out everybody who's using because
everybody's using.
Right.
Something. Well,
nobody wants that witch hunt.
They're doing something.
Right. And that's funny because, you know, in my own personal experience, even in college, everybody was using. Half the football team was using. And I never did. And I always thought back to that. And I had this conversation with my sports psychologist about it when my management team actually sent me some. And I was like on the verge of like, okay, this is it. Okay. So I asked him this question. If you were me and I told you, if you take steroids to get better at fighting – and stay healthy enough to keep fighting, and your arthritis will go away. It'll be easy for you to cut weight. Everything will be fine.
It also helps with brain function.
Exactly. Right. If I told you that you could be the champion of the world someday if you take steroids now, or if you don't take them and you continue fighting the way you are, you'll have a pretty good career. But you might be a champion, but probably not. What would you do?
Yeah, most people would use.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't. I gave mine away. And, you know,
you should have at least sold it, make a buck.
And I've had a great career, and maybe I'll come back and continue to have a really great career, and maybe someday I'll be the champion of the world kind of thing. But when you look at it like that, how much, you know, people say chase your dreams, blah, blah, blah. What would you do to be the champion of the world? At some point, you would say, I would give my firstborn child to be the champion of the world. Or, you know what, take my legs. Give me 10 years in the UFC. Five of them being a UFC champion and defending my belt, and then take my legs and I'll just wheel around. And like, do you know what I mean? What would you do for your dreams? Is taking steroids going to be the big thing?
Do you think people psychologically can, those type of people, almost sociopathic, like I will do anything to fulfill my dreams, CEOs of companies, whatever, when they're no longer in the limelight, when they're no longer famous, do you think that they can take not being famous anymore? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. That's a really good question too, because for me it's like, now that I'm not fighting, I'm fine with it. I am totally fine now with the idea of not being a fighter anymore, and looking back and saying, look at how well I did. Look at her shaking her head. My wife's shaking her head.
No, he's well, that's, not fine with it.
But there's a difference.
I'm fine with it where it's
there's
at.
Conversations between spouses, and there's conversations between like. And that's different.
I mean,
my wife knows all my aspirations and dreams, what I really want.
Yeah.
But then there's also my level-headed, like, I eventually want to be the CEO of my own company and do all of these things. Like, that's what I want to do. And my wife would do anything it took to help me get there. But at the same time, I know well enough what it would take in order for me to get there. And I think about it and it's like, I'd rather have a family and a normal life.
Exactly.
That is the debate we had for a long time.
And we're about to have a baby, and don't sit there and shake your head like I'm not okay.
Well, I don't feel like he's done fighting. Yeah. That's what I mean. I don't feel like he's done.
And I can, and we all do this. We lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I can be honest enough to say I'm probably lying to myself. I'm putting off the MRI until I'm ready to get the MRI for this, this, and that reason. And like she said, I'm putting it off mainly because I don't want to know yet. And then when I do know, maybe it will be a bigger deal when the doctor says, look, you're going to have Parkinson's when you're 40 already, probably. So don't get any more hits to the head, blah, blah, blah. Then it might be a bigger deal, but I'll still be able to look back and go, look how great I did. I was this good. I beat that guy. He's in the UFC. I beat that guy. He's in the UFC. And I could have, you know, maybe if the chips would have fallen a different way, I could have gone even farther.
You can still take steroids, baby.
Shut up. If I haven't done it yet, I'm not going to do
it. Well, and that's rough.
I take HGH.
Is it? Is it just why, I guess, I mean, I could probably guess why, but like more than anything, do you ethically have a problem with steroids, or do you, what are your like personal feelings on steroids and why you never did them? Because I
thought about that a lot too, and had that conversation with my sports psychologist. Same kind of thing. Why did I never do it? I think part of it was because the way I grew up, partly because I feel like it's cheating. I want to be the champion and say I did it naturally, kind of mm-hmm. like a Daniel Cormier thing, mm-hmm. And say I didn't need it. But again, I asked my sports psychologist the same question. Where does my pride with that, oh, I don't want to cheat and blah, 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 really put me at a disadvantage? Because I could be doing – I'm fighting guys who are doing all the steroids, you know, theoretically, mm-hmm. if that's what's really happening.
You at least have fought some, like, oh, and yeah. probably lost to some that have. So it's yeah. it's not.
For sure. But, you know, it's my pride about being the bigger man when it comes to not needing performance-enhancing drugs putting me at a disadvantage and keeping me from fulfilling my potential as a fighter.
And that's the thing. And as silly as this sounds, me and my friend were talking because he's actually a competitive gamer. He's into Street Fighter. And, like, people take beta blockers, and he's like, I will never do them because it's cheating.
Adderall.
And I'm like, I just don't know. Like, if I would have had, like, skill level, the training and everything, I'm a lot more lenient with people doing steroids. I don't want it to happen just because I'm worried about people's health, like long-term health and everything, as far as like taking the hits to the head. But like at the same time, I would never fault anybody for taking steroids.
Exactly.
Because it's like providing for your family. Like if that was placed in front of me and I would have had all
those pieces. If someone's
going
to give you $10 million and all you have to do is use steroids for 3 months out of
the year. $10 million is a very high number.
Well, not even that, but yeah. $20,000, $60,000.
And how hard they work and how hard their recovery is when they're not taking something. It's so hard on them. It's like... This is their life and they're training super hard and their body just hurts, but they have to keep going. And then not only that, you're going to go into a cage and beat each other up after mm-hmm. you go through
and
all this pain.
And that's when I really started thinking about taking steroids. And because my views had changed, I'd grown up, like you said, I'm not going to fault anybody else for taking steroids, mm-hmm. but I used to fight, 6-7 times a year mm-hmm. when I was first into
more recovery.
Right. Well, I didn't need it. Mm-hmm. I was still youngish. Yeah. My body hadn't been beat to crap yet. And now it's to look back and think, if I'm going to fight this month and then I got to be ready for another fight next month, there's no way. My body just, it hurts. Everything hurts. So it's like.
It's definitely an interesting question.
But why did I never take it? I think I was kind of afraid of what it would do to my body. There's a lot of side effects potentially. Yeah. I was afraid
Mad
of
boobs.
Getting right, exactly. I was afraid of messing up my hormones, and then I've always had anger issues. And you know, if I take steroids and then become this roid rage freak, and everything, you know, everything falls apart in my life, things like that. And I didn't really believe that it would take me where I wanted to go. The hypothetical question was, if I gave you these steroids and said, if you take these, you'll be the champion. If somebody could have guaranteed that, I would have taken the steroids.
Well, and that's the shitty part about it is like there is no guarantee. So if you compromise your ethics or how you feel and things like that, and it all just turned out for naught, like maybe you get – it's a different fight and you get knocked out a different way, like a lot more ugly, and you literally can't fight ever again and you still did steroids. So now you're compromised. Your career still is not going the way that you hoped it would. I mean – there's just no guarantees with even steroids. Yep.
Not only that, but the good steroids are expensive. If you're taking crap steroids,
that's why it's good.
You mean you can't go to Mexico? You can't go to Mexico and get that horse steroids?
Oh yeah.
We have a guy at our gym, and he will admit when he was in high, he went to Clearfield High.
It makes sense. They were all on. Yeah, they were all on steroids.
He admitted.
That time.
He's like, I took steroids. He's like, because everyone else was huge, and I was the little guy. Well, I needed to get bigger. And
that's Ryan's age. My brother's
like,
age. All of his buddies were on steroids in high school. But the weird part is that I don't understand psychologically. Psychologically, as an athlete, if I'm an athlete and I am wanting to be the best that I could ever be, and they say, you're training, you're already this level, you take this and it'll take you to the next level, and that's what you want to be. Psychologically, it's a no-brainer. I want to be the best I possibly can, and I cannot be the best. I have reached my peak without this substance, and now I can take this substance to be an even higher. I mean, for someone that is, their whole life is competing and being better than everyone else, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's psychologically.
Right. It's like Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
I always think of Lance Armstrong as like, Lance Armstrong would have never been Lance Armstrong if he'd never taken those things. If you look back in his career and you go, listen, okay, at one point did he say, if I take these, I can be a 5-time champion of the Tour de France. And if I don't take them, nobody's ever going to know who Lance Armstrong was. Is that no-brainer, just like you just said. No way. Put the needle in my butt now. I will do that.
Especially when people will do it for no reason. In high school, just to be bigger.
Or like to look stronger. Cares in the world when you're in high school, right? Just do whatever I need to do to be cool, right?
Get chicks.
Yeah, he doesn't do it anymore, but he's like, yeah, I was taking that low-grade animal stuff, and he just wasn't good at all.
Right, and that's the sad part.
He's like, you see this growth? That's what it's
Yeah.
Some people who have those morals, I think, are dumb. And I look back at myself and I go, was I dumb for not doing it? Maybe I could have gone farther if I didn't. Because I don't think anybody in the world would choose not to take steroids and not be a five-time champion of the Tour de France and a rich, rich man and blah, 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 and famous. I don't think anybody would choose not to on a moral ground.
I don't think
deep down inside, if you were given the choice, be Lance Armstrong, who took the steroids and killed everybody and is famous and rich now, or be the Lance Armstrong who has a family and never took steroids and lived on his moral horse. I think it's a no-brainer for everybody.
I think that's a solid point.
It doesn't even have to be as like your daughter eating or not, even her just going, having a better life from not going to public school, going to a private school. Like there's so much that factors into it. And it's like
marrying Sheryl Crow.
It's like everything is better.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
I can rule the world or I can, work at an honest job for the rest of my life.
Well, but not only that honest job, like the person that's working at that honest job might not have the dedication to even be to the level that Lance Armstrong was at before he started using steroids.
Right. I think that everybody he was competing against, competing against was already using. They took, I remember all the news stories they did, and they did, okay, the last 3 years that Lance Armstrong won it, how many people that out of the top seven finishers, so we're looking at 21 different people, how many people have never been busted for performance-enhancing drugs? One guy had never been busted. Which means everybody had already been caught, and they're making a big deal about Lance Armstrong. And the one guy who hadn't been caught, who knows?
So finishing that up, when you decide whether you're not fighting or going to fight again, where can people actually find that information?
I don't know. I don't have much of a social media presence.
We'll put it through here.
Let us know. We'll push it through our Twitter.
Yeah. If you're tapped into the local MMA scene, I'll probably start with a warm-up fight, maybe on Steel Fist or Showdown or something like that. Maybe RFA.
Thank you guys so much for being on with us. We really appreciate your time. Please let us know the next time you fight. Once again, this has been Justin and Carson with One Speed MMA with Jordan and Crystal Smith.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.